Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
Took them 4 years to make An Insignificant Man, and one of the things I realized right out of the gate is that this film is about anything but insignificance. We had a great chat, a lovely chat, and I kind of wish we could have kept going, and perhaps we're even going to get to do a part two. But this gets into politics as a whole. It gets into Indian politics in particular, but I think there's something very global and very not only unique about this, but also something about it that draws us all together, that connects us in some way, that says we're all facing these issues. We're all in this together. And so on some certain level, we have to listen a little more closely. We have to smarten up, in a sense. This film is about democracy, but it raises some really serious questions about how we might get there. It's delightful, it's fun, it's interesting, it's dramatic. And watch these two young, talented filmmakers pull this story together in a way that is compelling and important. This is a great film. This is also an important film. Khushbu Ranka, Vinay Shukla, An Insignificant Man. And don't forget to check out rabble.ca and davidpecklive.com for more information about my podcasting and speaking. And we are live at the Toronto International Film Festival 2016. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by two very special guests here today. They've just been in town, I think, for a couple of days, probably going to tell us a little bit about that. The directors of a film, An Insignificant Man, Khushbu. I'm going to refer to them by their first names. They'll then tell you their last names. Khushbu and Vinay are here with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, David.
So tell me about your relationship to the film. And then let's get into some of what it's really all about.
Well, it's our first film, so obviously it means everything to us right now.
I bet it does.
Around the premiere, we've been very protective of the film, and to let go of it at this point has been, you know, an anxiety-ridden experience as well. So, I think that as you know, we're just waiting in anticipation for the premiere and to see how the audience receives it.
So, anxiety, Khushbu, in the sense that of how it's going to be received, or kind of, did we make the right editorial choices? Did we do the right thing?
No, not in terms of the editorial choices. I think we've, you know, done everything that we could on the edit. And I mean, I can say that confidently because we've worked our asses off on this one. And I think it's more about you've lived with something for so long and whether it's going to mean something in the world out there, you know, and whether What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. We've put out what we have to say. It's more about finding out if that's of any relevance to people out there or not.
Yeah, I think anxiety, meaning more stage fright anything else.
The Q&A session after the premiere.
That too, but like literally, you know, on behalf of the film, getting stage fright, like, you know.
Well, I don't know if this will help. I think it's a brilliant film.
Thank you so much.
I think it's an important film.
Yeah.
I think it's a great story.
I think you've got wonderful,
watchable characters that are colorful and interesting and funny and totally relevant to, I think, what's going on globally.
Thank you so much.
I just got back from Southeast Asia. I do a fair bit of work in development and in Cambodia in particular. And the political issues that are going on there right now, I mean, in some ways, I think Cambodia needs an insignificant man.
You have no idea how much that means to us, you know, for you to have connected with the film. And that's precisely why we made the film, that, you know, complete strangers will watch it and take something back, you know, whatever it is.
And right.
And I think what you said is very important about this strand of political churning happening across different countries and different cultures.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's everywhere.
Exactly.
Right?
And
in different forms and
exactly.
contexts.
And that's the response we have received from a lot of people whenever we have shown them material from our film. And the first thing is that their response is, you know what, I know of something like this in my country. While we were filming, in fact, while we were making the film, we were contacted by one of Khushbu's friends from Egypt.
Yeah, one of my friends from Egypt. He was like, so you know, these guys, they were protesters, and now they're turning to politics. And he was actually, he had been involved in the, you know, the Tahrir Square protests and things like that. He was one of the people at the forefront of that. And they had been mulling over going political. And he wanted to see some of the material to, you know, understand what it means for people who are, you know, in a sense, anti-establishment to try and become the establishment.
Well, I think one of the many things that I took away from the film, I think, and it will resonate for quite some time, is the way you guys humanize politicians.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, yes, they're about power and they're interested in change and there's levels of corruption and all these different things that come into play in politics. Compromise, as it comes out near the end of the film. But they're still fathers and mothers and daughters and human beings, right? I mean, it's something really interesting there, just I think about what it means to be a community and what it means to be living in a particular context, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. And that context, you know, is consistent across countries, across, yeah.
What is it, 201 countries, I think, or something? The UN recognizes maybe 198 around the world, so there's a lot of relevance here.
Yeah, which also means there are 1,500 disputes.
That's right. There's lots of conflict as well.
Yeah.
So this, you know, I love the title, taken right out of the film, taken right from a statement by the activist. The tax
officer.
Accountant come activist become politician.
Arvind Kejriwal.
Yes. How do you pronounce his name?
Arvind. Kejriwal.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that he was a tax official that became an activist that essentially kind of turned everything upside down.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would disagree with that statement. I mean, people may hate him for turning things upside down or like him for turning things upside down, but he did turn things upside down. I mean, essentially, Congress, which was like the biggest party in India, right? For 70 years.
Wow.
You know, they are the powerful political force in India, and today they have shrunk. I mean.
And ironically
completely.
Connected to Gandhi, yes?
Gandhi was a spiritual leader of the party.
Right.
And while he was alive, he had a father-like presence over the party.
Yeah, but also in the sense that Nehru and all his protégés were, you know, their turn towards being politicians from revolutionaries in their own time, you know, they fought the British. their turn to politics was into the Congress. Mahatma Gandhi was, you know, very much a part of.
Disheartening to you guys that, you know, from Gandhi's seeds that were planted, ultimately after many years, we end up with capital C corruption in a sense? Or is that just inevitable?
I wouldn't call it disheartening. Because I think India as a country is a very ambitious project. Various currents have taken place over various decades, and of course there's much to be worried about and there's much to be celebrated. But something that we are trying to do in the film as well is to study the film through a more complex lens. Is to try and go closer to things to understand them. Yes, there is increasing inequality and massive deprivation. Does that worry me? Yes, it does. Do I blame the political class, or do I blame or am I sad that that the seeds Gandhi has had planted have come to this? I'm not sure, because I'm not sure if that was the source and this is the end, or this is the sort of unifocused lens.
But at the same time, I would say that Gandhi himself, he was such an interesting leader, right? Like he saw politics as a spiritual churning as well.
Sure.
And he's written about it and spoken about it so many times. And he talks about, collective repentance and things like that. So, where he began, and he, you know, again about sustainability, which is a big part of how he sees the world. So the way he, of course, you know, the legacy that he wanted to leave behind, whether how much of that remains and how much of it has affected our country is a very, very long conversation.
Yeah.
But as far as corruption goes, of course, it is, nobody will deny that it's a big problem, and it is a disheartening problem.
Yeah. But also, just coming back to, if you were to speak about Gandhi specifically, I think there is much, like you said, there's a very detailed conversation about everything that he meant and said.
And just by the way, like, for example, his choice to not be an active leader after the independence and an active politician was seen by many as...
More the activist, less the politician.
Yeah, it was seen by many as running away from a responsibility which was incumbent upon him. But, yeah, so it's interesting. Like,
well, one of the things I think that's really interesting to me, too, that comes out of the film is that a lot of people will say, oh, politics, forget it, I've given up. Or all politicians are corrupt. You know, they'll make these blanket statements. And I think there's one brilliant line near the end of the film where they talk about somebody says, well, hey, we had to make some compromises. You know, in politics, you have to make compromises. And I think what I love about your film is that it shows that it's not as easy as you think. There's a lot going on here. This is a country of over, a billion people? I mean, there's a lot of subtlety and nuance and complexity. This isn't easy, especially to take on the ruling party.
Yeah. I mean, to have any kind of an absolute... To have any kind of an absolute statement represent India would be a failing, you know?
Yes.
So.
And you guys don't do that. You don't offer that sort of... Well, don't we... I mean, don't Indians, Cambodians, Canadians, Malawians, don't we just polarize it? Don't we normally just say black, white, positive, negative, right? We don't want to really get into the issues.
Politicians, activists.
That's right.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think at least Indians, the culture that or the immediate family and surroundings that I came from has a very lively interaction with politics.
Yes.
So that
really comes out in the film.
Yes. So that is something that we were also aiming for with the film, that they don't take politics as something, you know, it's deeper. I think
it's not something intangible to them. It's very tangible.
Okay, so one of my favorite moments in the movie is it's hysterical. Is on the TV set where there's four little green screen.
Yeah.
and they're shouting at each other.
Yeah.
And then somebody says, don't turn this into a shouting match, but they've been shouting themselves. And then, okay, we're all done now. Like, we've got to cut to a commercial or something. And then everybody just stands up and shakes hands, and it's like they're all buddies, and this is just what we do.
Exactly.
Right? This is how we behave.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's one of those moments when you're there because these guys are also doing this every day. To be honest, politicians,
it's their job, right?
Yeah, and politicians and political spokespersons, political party spokespersons, are literally assigned by their political parties to speak on every issue in the country. It's not possible for them to be an expert on every issue, but they have to go and defend the party from the floods to.
They have to be experts at defending themselves.
Right.
I mean, she couldn't have said it better.
So beyond
a certain point, it's also a part of their job, and they empathize with each other, saying, you know, we understand that you're in a difficult position today, and tomorrow we'll be in that position. So as soon as the lights go off, and I think it's the same across professions. You'll see lawyers that as soon as the judge calls for lunch, you'll see lawyers from both sides just meeting up and saying, listen, what have you got for lunch?
True.
How's your wife doing?
Yeah, the conversation in the courtroom and the conversation at the coffee shop are going to be very different.
It's completely different.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know, there's a line right out of the film about, I think the direct quote is, politicians are like the mafia in India. Do you guys believe that?
That particular quote was being said in the context of, a specific geographical area. So he says the politicians are like the mafia here, which is true about certain parts of India, definitely. And again, this is not something that will be said in press conferences or officially and things like that, but you'll find enough people who will come out and say that we are being harassed by powerful people, you know.
Well, there's degrees of corruption, too.
Yeah, also,
right?
Also just going further on the... like she said, there are certain belts in India, and there are certain mafias who have gone on to become politicians. So it's also an intersection
So there's some literal truth in this.
Yes.
You know, like, for example, when he's asking someone, why don't you tell me names of honest people who we can get in the party?
Sure, yeah.
And the other guy says, do you mean murderers? You know, what he's trying to say is that give me good names, you know, give me...
Right.
Powerful
right.
names, and
right.
the other person interprets it as murderers, which should show you how natural it is for people who are seen to be like wielding power and things
well,
like that.
Well, there's this film is about so many things, and it's really kind of a statement against power, it seems to me. But there's a line too, and it might have been in that context. You know, laws are made to punish common people, not basically to punish rich and powerful people. Was my takeaway.
That's what it means.
And that's a pretty cynical statement in a way, and yet I would imagine pretty realistic as well.
I would say
levels.
It's realistic because if you look at the statistics, not looking at it in an emotional way, but if you look at statistics, our prisons are full of poor people, of people from the lower castes, people who are marginalized in society generally. And that's true for the U.S. as well, like... There is a certain section of people who will find themselves in prison more than another section of the people,
of the people.
Absolutely. And that's true for India as well. So it's not like rich and influential people don't commit crimes, but, you know, the statistics of those who are imprisoned and who are penalized for it reflect otherwise.
And it's a wonderful statement about the abuse of power, really, isn't it? And again, that brings us kind of back to that commonality of what your film is really all about. So the accountant, come activist, come politician, did he always think he was an insignificant man?
I think it's a question for him, no?
I mean, it's...
How well... I guess the question really is, how well did you get to know him?
He's a very stoic person, actually. Mm. So it's difficult for anyone to penetrate beyond, you know, a certain kind of... What do you think?
I think how well did we get to know him is something that we'll discover ourselves over the years. Because right now the time period is still short on him in his public life.
So just to be clear, he is actually at a pretty high level now.
Yes, he's the chief minister of Delhi
for about a year. About a year.
He's the chief minister of Delhi, and he's one of the most polarizing figures in India. Everything, wow. Whenever, every time we say that we are involved with making a film
about him,
we either get a lot of interest or a lot of indifference.
Or a lot of even like scornful.
Yeah, scorn. You know. So it's interesting. It's interesting. It's something that both of us tremendously enjoy engaging with. You know, it's also a position of privilege for us because we have found ourselves making a film about somebody who everybody is interested in and has an opinion on.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, there's another title that we were considering for the film, which reflects, I think, better what he means to Indian politics. We were going to call the film Gadfly. But it's a difficult idea.
A reference to Socrates. Nice. Yeah. I like it.
So, but you know, that was a little bit inaccessible as well. Like, we would have to put a plate before the film explaining what gadfly means.
That's a gadfly,
and
yes.
Like that.
Yes, the fly in the ointment.
Yeah.
Also a quote from Die Hard, I believe, actually.
Exactly. So but coming back to the question of how well do we know him, I think the film goes into a lot of, it does go very close to his, to how he sees the world. And his own sort of emotional core, because there are a couple of scenes wherein, you know, you see him with his friends when he's not standing up on the stage and screaming, and you see him with his own party volunteers,
and his mother,
and then his mother, and you know how what his dynamic is.
Yeah.
So there are glimpses of that bit.
Doesn't his mom at some point ask him what time he's going to be home?
Exactly.
I laughed out loud. That was fantastic. I'm so glad you left that in.
Yeah, I mean, we actually, the thing is, we tried to not show him in his family life as much as possible because that was a very conscious choice. I think to some extent it dilutes your perspective of the ideological and policy stands that are being taken, you know.
So this is a guy you both must really trust, though, and he clearly must have trusted you to make this film. I mean, somebody that's willing to do an 11-day fast, and I think it comes out in the film, 400,000 people were sort of also fasting at the same time. Is that right? Or at least in support of his fast?
By the end of it, there were 1 million people who signed a letter saying, we stand by you. And they signed those letters of
protest.
Letters of protest.
Letters of protest.
So yeah. so it's basically like a signature campaign.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you were to sit tomorrow on asking for justice for whatever cause that you want, 1 million people said we stand with him.
Mm-hmm.
Is how it played out. And
yeah.
In terms of trust, it's I think it works. It's more about we were just there every day, and. Him and the party realized that we were in it for the long haul. And I think the trust builds from there slowly.
Again, I mean, I think trust, I would still say that's a strong word. From both, I mean, I don't think it was about them trusting us or us trusting him and the party. It was more about us being really committed to, you know, this story as soon as we realized that we think this is a good story to tell.
We have to wrap it up in a couple of minutes here, and I'm going to ask you one last question, and maybe we can do a part two by phone down the road.
Sure.
But you guys strike me as pretty young. I'm at an age now that I think I'm allowed to say that. Could have older filmmakers in India made this film?
Yeah,
would they have had the same sort of, I mean, obviously they wouldn't have had the same perspective as you guys, because you're bringing your own history and family and so on. But I guess what I'm trying to get to is that sense for change. That hopeful, because that's, I mean, this is ultimately a really hopeful film.
I mean, I don't know if they would be able to make the same film, but I'm sure they'll be able to make a good film.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good answer. That's a very, complimentary answer to other Indian filmmakers. Yeah.
Yeah, why not? I mean, and we hope, in fact, that somebody out there, you know, maybe older, maybe younger, is making another film, which is, again, going deep into some institution or organization, which illuminates ideas of democracy and ideas of perhaps justice or ideas of power. We would love to...
Well, thank you for your time today and your generosity and for the film and insignificant. It's about everything but insignificant men and women, it seems to me, which is absolutely brilliant. So Khushbu Ranka and Vinay Shukla, did I get that right?
Absolutely.
Yep. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for your time today and have a great time at the festival. World premiere, Toronto International Film Festival.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.